Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, look, he's already running. I can't stop him. He's warming up. Still warming up. That's the best warm-up I've seen. Come on.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
That's it. We're off. Good morning.
Good morning.
Running commentary on this rainy Monday.
Yeah, it's just abated, hasn't it? It was pretty tough about an hour ago, wasn't
it? It's Edinburgh weather. You know, I got caught in a massive, like, really wet, like, big drop downpour.
Yeah.
And then 10 minutes after that, the sun was out. And the sun wasn't just out, it was hot. You know, It really kind of cuts through. It really reminds me of Edinburgh, which is quite evocative, really.
It's also sort of... It's an absurd reminder that somewhere along here we're not at the end of summer, but we're at the beginning of the end of summer.
Yeah.
Sort of. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah.
There's a bit of that.
I'm afraid so. I've noticed. Yeah. Because, you know, what are we now? We're a month after the solstice.
We're late July,
I noticed it getting darker a bit earlier.
Yes.
But don't tell anyone.
And we're at that stage where people are trying to get away on holiday, aren't they, to guarantee the summer sun at the end of summer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they get...
But talking of guarantees, I have a strong belief. My memory tells me that there's always a blast of hazy, Keatsian, negative capability sunshine somewhere early in September.
Yes, that's what you hope for, isn't it?
When you go back to school
and
you see everyone that, you know, from the year before.
Yeah.
And then... The fair comes to town and
checking out
so long ago.
Checking out your different masks, sitting on the opposite side, the classroom.
That's made me think of that Billy Bragg song.
I'll never forget the first day I met her, and September morning was even fierce.
That's me being Billy Bragg. Could you tell?
Is my mic bobbling? Have I got the Eleanor bobble?
No, you haven't got no bubble. Hey, I'm glad you mentioned Eleanor, because she got in touch with me yesterday.
Yeah.
She was saying, and let me pass this on to you, dear listener, how much she appreciated all the appreciation.
Good.
We were having a little chat about how, you know, it's a little way of cross-referencing that we really mean it when we say how much we like you feeding back to us, because as comedians, we're really used to cynical at best, completely inert at worst in terms of response.
Yeah.
So to be part of a community that says, really enjoyed it, I've been doing this, liked what you said, it's really special for us, isn't it?
It is nice, yeah.
So what we need today?
Just a little, just a lazy Monday 5-6 miler, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
How's your weekend been in for running,
Well,
adventures?
Last week was... sort of taper week.
Right.
But then that was the plan after running 50 miles a week before ending with a 20 on the Saturday.
Yeah.
And then I took 2 straight days completely off. But the next day after that was when we went out with Eleanor. And that was quite a long run in the end.
Yeah.
And I ran a bit more. Anyway, 20 miles on the week. No, wait, it's 17 miles on the week.
Right.
And I took Friday off. And then I did my fast 3 on Saturday morning. And that was good. It was after what you said about coming up to the track. I did feel like I had quite fresh legs.
Right.
Well, I wasn't feeling particularly psychologically disposed to a good fast run. But yeah, my mile average was a good pace.
Good, good.
What about you?
Just thought I ended up having not a great running week last week.
You were a bit injured when I saw you, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, that's part of it, actually. I was. We did the podcast. Good fun, good laugh.
Yeah.
Went out the next day, did about 7, but really felt this sort of upper groin, slight abductor strain, post-football idiocy.
Yeah.
Injury.
So where's that kind of in the bottom of your tum, kind of?
Yeah, sort of. It's just where I had the hernia operation,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, great.
And then I had a couple of days off. Well, no, that was... When do we do the podcast?
Tuesday.
Wednesday. I had Thursday...
Monday, Tuesday,
I had Thursday, Friday off.
Yeah.
The weeks get a bit fluid, don't they?
Yeah.
During lockdown. Is it Tuesday, Friday?
Yes.
What day is
one
it?
One or the other.
Are the bins out?
Bins. Bins are the only thing. We're waiting outside of houses and then...
Lockdown brain.
There's someone...
Lockdown gossip.
Someone comes to get the bins on Monday morning, yeah, and they do two things. One, they roll a bin up the road.
Yeah.
It's generally come at about 7:15.
Yeah.
And go... past the window. The other thing they do is they don't take any bins away.
Yeah.
It's some kind of reconnaissance.
Right, right.
And they come back and get the actual bins at about 11.
They're the pre-bin preppers.
The pre-bin noiser.
Yeah.
The noisy roller.
Yeah.
Noisy non-bin roller muck.
Yes.
Early doors.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was either on Wednesday or Saturday or Friday or Tuesday you were out.
Yeah, yeah. And then so I didn't run for 2 days. And then I ran on Saturday and had a really good run, actually. And no real reason to have one. I was quite hungover, just feeling a little bit stupid and reluctant, but it was one of those where I just had a feeling I was going to have an enjoyable run. It was raining.
You just kind of pulled on the thread.
By the time I got away, it was raining. I did about 9 miles.
Yeah.
In the rain, really enjoyed it. Did the last mile in like 7 minutes and 2 seconds or something.
Yeah.
Gave a bit of pace at the end. And just ended it really re-energised by running.
Yeah.
It was just a really good doctor on Saturday.
That sounds really lovely, except to feel like you're setting it up for an hour later you're in A&E or...
No, it was absolutely fine.
Oh,
and then
good.
On Sunday, I was going to go for a run Sunday morning, but I was still feeling a bit stiff and wondering if I should do it. And I set off.
Yeah.
And then I just came back after a minute.
Didn't work for you?
No, I just felt too sore.
Yeah.
So I just... I mean, that's like... You'll do that one every 100 times, aren't you?
Yeah, you can't.
If that, I mean, you just once you get your kit on, you shut the door, you're out, aren't you?
But yeah, I was going to say,
I just couldn't handle it.
Get in the habit. Well, on the other hand, when you know, you know.
Yeah. And I knew, so I came back.
Yeah.
I think it was a good call, because I'm feeling better today. I'm feeling
well, I have to say, I hope it isn't age and injury and whatever.
No, I don't think it is.
But I do think that, I'll say it again, but I'm really learning it for the first time, is that pace will cost.
Yeah.
So I think if you went out for however many miles you did on Saturday, it's the fast one at the end you were working with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah,
what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, it was just... it's just that thing of... As you get on in years, running day after day after day after day.
Yeah.
You've got to be feeling right to do it, haven't you? You don't want to beat yourself up.
No, and you do get into that zone, which I think quite a lot of people have... Shed other people have had this experience where you think you're doing loads of running, you're doing great and you're committed, and suddenly the tiredness from all that running makes you feel like quality is tailing off rather than building up.
Yes, yeah. That's when you need a rest. So I've entered the race, the New Forest one in just outside Luton.
Oh yeah, the Nottingham New Forest.
The Nottingham
it's in Southampton,
one.
Northampton.
Just south of Venice.
It's in Hartford, Hereford.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Venice that. The three. Hey, mate, good to see you. The Three Peaks race in Milton Keynes. Looking forward to it. Should be good fun. Why not?
Maybe I should email you a map before you set off. Tell me about this race.
It's a half marathon in New Forest, which I think is Hampshire. I've been joking, but I think it's Hampshire.
Not Nottingham Forest.
And it's a proper... It seems like they're just putting on a race. I mean, I don't know if it's going to work. I should have been some measures in place.
Marathon. We'll only measure 13.1 miles.
Marathon, half marathon, 10K, 5K. I'm doing the half marathon.
When is this?
September the 13th.
Nice.
So I just sort of
lucky for some.
A bit of an autumn race, you know.
Excellent. Well, I should think you're not the only one. Those places must have been snapped up, right?
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know.
I imagine that people would be really keen.
I think some people are, some people aren't, and that's fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Like, some people... I imagine, I mean, the fact I could enter... It was one of those races where entries just went on the day last year. So... Right.
So it's less interesting.
I think there's less interest. Of course there is, yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
I think it's one of those personal choice things. And it will take a while to come back, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to just a timed race and a run out.
Talking of people going back to things in the south-southwest, did you see a promoter doing a gig outside for 150 socially distanced people not in cars?
Right, yes, I did see.
Saying, we're back, it's back.
Yes.
Is it back?
They're starting to do some gigs, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a few gigs at the weekend, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Outside, which sound, look okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
They felt like real gigs, which is...
Yeah. Well, I did a...
It's a thing.
I did a kind of Zoom chat show thing with Kev Orkian.
Oh, yeah.
And it was me, Tom Benz, and Wendell Osadi.
Excellent. And, not Toby Foster.
Yeah.
And we Toby Foster. Lyndon Osadi.
And we
never seen us in the same room.
We did like an hour long kind of chat thing, and I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed sort of chatting and being funny and thinking on your feet and all that stuff. No, I'm alright. I'm fine. Yeah, cool.
Because normally he likes to. We don't need to.
Right for a minute.
Is anyone going to? No.
That's the first toilet stop.
And we're just going to go straight past it. It's so beautiful. So Lyndon Osadi, Tom Binns.
Tom Binns on first, chatting and moaning. Lots of moaning about gigs and people nicking his ideas for gigs and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought it's a little bit unnecessary.
Yeah.
So I...
Tom Binns.
So I just... steamed into him off the top, which is nice.
Excellent.
And
take that social network energy.
Yeah, take that
live.
Yeah, do that Zoom thing. Of course, you get in no right to reply because there's only one audio feed. And I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was a good one.
Do you think the audience enjoyed it?
It's hard to say because you can't hear.
Yeah. And what side did Linda take?
Linda was. She was very charming, actually. I've never met her before.
Yeah.
She had corona early on, didn't she?
Right.
I think she was one of the sort of high-profile cases. Her and her husband had battled with it. And it was just nice to have a little chat with her. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was on good form. But people like her are, like, coping with a year without panto, aren't they?
Yeah,
they've
of course.
They've lost all the panto.
Yeah.
Which is huge wedge for them.
No, it's massive. I mean, it's
basically their year.
It just kind of sums it up, isn't it? It's that classic end of... All this stuff at arts funding, like I was saying the other day, is so tied in with classism and perspectives, because people think all the arts, theatre, that adaptation I saw at the Old Vic, but of course all the people who've gone out of business are also the people in musicals that American tourists go and see that have been on for years and years and years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pantos.
Yeah.
Which make...
All those regional pantos.
All the money for those theatres, keep them alive.
Yes, they do, yeah.
And of course, they're also just brilliant, you know?
Yeah.
We've talked before about the pure... You know, to not underestimate the effort it takes. A good panto that entertains the whole family.
Yeah.
It's a great bit of... It's just not easy.
No, it's not, no.
And of course, we have strong feelings about all this stuff because it all ties in with stand-up. So I'm the same kind of unwelcome member of the family arts spectrum.
It's obviously starting to come back. And people are sort of selling half full rooms and then live streaming it and all that kind of business.
Yes, then it starts to come back. No, it's not coming back.
It's a 50-50 model. But the only reality is that I'm not getting offered any gigs.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I got offered the chance of the gig in Chiswick Headliners.
Oh, yeah.
But I kind of knocked it back because it's before going on holiday. Yeah. And another problem of this whole palaver is obviously the money's gone well down.
That's exactly it. I was just going to say that it's not wrong to say we're not getting off to any gigs, and I think that that is the truth of it in real terms for you and I. But if you look at it in a more technically accurate sense, we're not getting offered any gigs we want.
Yeah.
The odd one's trickling through, but it's like, no,
so you end up. You end up in an environment where you're just paying, where you're paying to work, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Factoring the travel. So the question becomes, do you go through this so that the people who booked you remember? Do you become one of the times who supported it in the bad times so you can benefit from the good times?
Yeah, but it's not a charity.
Do you do rubbish gigs for no money? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and do you treat your own career as a charity that you give to?
Yes.
It's like a pretty weird model to me.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Linda Lusardi's a weird model.
Or do you wait for Rishi, for Magic Rishi to appear on telly and give you some more money?
No, Magic Rishi's not coming autumn. This year because they had to cancel the panto.
Did he? He's off. He's finished. Cancelled after one highly successful summer season.
Have it, take it, go for a meal. It's behind you, it's in front of you.
It's the magic. It's everywhere. We found it after all these years. Thank you, Rishi.
And that's this week's politics.
Yes. We await the feedback. Bound to have annoyed someone. We tend to keep off politics, but every now and then.
Yeah, we've learned that now.
We get,
which is good,
we get dragged in, because running's beyond politics, as we know.
Oh,
doesn't that look beautiful?
Queen's, oh, look at that.
Doesn't that look gorgeous?
You have to wait for, I'm going to get a picture of that.
That's the allotment.
We're just coming into... If you've seen any allotments recently, they are amazing, aren't they?
The allotment that I so fleetingly joined.
Yeah, gardeners have had the time to work them. The rain's really been good. They look just beautiful.
Oh, it's been a lovely summer for the garden, Rob. Hasn't it been lovely? You saw our front garden today, didn't you? Oh.
Yeah, you were being mean about it.
Oh, yes. My wife, it's basically two lines of flowers outside the house. My wife presents it like Kew Gardens.
I'm totally...
To anyone who comes around. Oh, look at what we've done.
Well, me and my wife will have to remember not to have exactly the same conversation with you about our back garden, which, by the way, is not nearly as impressive as your front garden. So.
You smell like someone smoking weed.
I think it's actually...
smoking weed.
No, it's plants. It's...
All right.
it's ground... What's it called? Wild garlic.
That's is it? All right, okay.
Lovely in the woods. Oh, my goodness.
And these are people here protecting the oak trees. Ah. There's something with insurers going on where there's a few oak trees that are threatening some houses. So they want to get rid of the oak trees.
We weren't going to do politics. But is that Swampy?
All it comes down to a...
It's a return of Swampy.
Yeah. All it comes down is... The insurers can't be bothered to underpin the properties.
Yeah, yeah.
So there it is. They need 300 grand.
Jeez, odds.
And people are sort of...
Hi, we're going to share this, if that's okay with you. What do you say?
Rob's got involved.
All right, I'm coming round.
You'll regret that. Oh, there we go.
Oh, thank you, yes. Well, we have a limited... You're hiding. Okay, people who are recording here, you stay there, that's good, just as long as I can still see Queen's Wood. It's better with you not hiding behind it. This is a podcast where we run and talk while we run. Running Commentary, it's called. So look us up. Are you on Twitter? Is this on Twitter? #Save Save Queen's Wood Oaks.
We'll do it. I've signed the petition.
I'll put it in. You'll see it.
I've signed the petition.
Yeah, all right.
Good luck with it.
It's called Running Commentary on Twitter, RunComPod. Although we're off Twitter for 48 hours, you know, because of the...
Yes, Save the Oaks. Absolutely.
Save the Oaks. I don't know if you'll come out on this, so you three have to say Save the Oaks as loud as you can now.
Save the Oaks!
Nicely done. Okay, good luck.
This is so...
They're so unswampy. That's the funny thing.
So radical,
aren't Such
we?
A nice...
We're so radical.
Nice.
Did you nick any food?
The ladies. I think someone spiked my
samosa. That's a great place to go at night if you fancy a bit of food, isn't it? Way back off. I might tell my kids about that.
I've got to tell you, it's really good food. No, because a couple of times I've walked, me and my daughter, my estimable daughter, who I wanted to talk about today.
Yes.
Come back to that.
Yeah.
We've gone down on school strike day for the environment.
All right, yeah.
If you want good food.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Those vegans with their bikes. They cycle into Parliament Square at the end of the march.
Just laden.
They're just handing out stuff.
Laden with
it's
quiche
so
and all sorts
good.
Of
it's all vegan. It's all, you got curry, you got bread, you got these nice. Kind of energy balls. Yeah. Once I thought I was getting a falafel, and there was this huge kind of chocolate and peanut energy ball. I'm like, oh, who cares? Yeah, in it goes. I'm num, num, num. And that's why good. I go on climate strike marches. Yeah. It's for the vegan, free vegan food.
Win-win. Yeah. Good for the environment. Good.
Well, it's quite bad for the environment if I overdo the curry.
Yeah.
But only in a very local sense.
There's more. Walkers there. So they seem quite... I didn't actually get too close because I didn't want to. Didn't want to.
Oh, he was us all thinking that sentence had more to it than there is.
No, I didn't want to feel like they were being invaded, because I know sometimes there's a sense of sensitivity about such occasions.
Yeah.
And I was casing out the perimeter.
I thought you were wrestling with G4. There's a couple of security guys.
I was fondling my energy balls.
It's like that bit, I was like Gandalf going to see Bernard Hill. Right. And you were Aragorn and Legolas behind me fighting off all the guard.
Did they seem of good spirits?
Yeah, they were just lovely.
Yeah, just really nice
hippie-ish women,
people.
So not... It was really wasn't... It didn't remind me as nearly as much of a Prodigy album cover as I hoped it would. But, you know,
they've got a good point. I don't really... I tend to avoid petitions and stuff, but I love these woods.
Yeah.
And it just felt like a bit of a no-brainer. I like the trees in the woods. Because that's what woods are, isn't it?
Yeah, and also... Trees. I think specifically, rows about trees... It's always an argument why you can take down this one tree.
Right.
But you've got to respect the concept of trees, because trees take years and years and years to grow and make. And you take one, and it's gone.
Yeah.
And then no one's somewhere else is saying, it's okay, here's a massive tree to replace it, you know?
No.
And generally, the reasons people take trees in city environments, it's always something sort of local and topical. You know, it's in the way.
Yes, yeah.
You know, don't really like it. It's like you've got to think about the cost. Anyway.
This has got a bit of magic about it, this place, hasn't it?
It's really magic. So nice. It's nice to be back.
Yeah.
We haven't been in the wet for a long time. You said you were hungover on Saturday. I think it's time for drinking report. What's the story?
Not much, really. I mean, just standard everyday's like Sunday activity in the absence of any meaningful work.
Yep.
Just have a drink, you know.
Yeah, it's difficult.
I don't even think we went anywhere.
It's not like we're absolutely loving the drinking. It's just the not drinking that's hard.
Yeah, I'm still managing to have three or four days off a week.
Well, I think that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. It feels a decent compromise.
I think I had 2 days off last week. On one of those, I had wine.
Right.
Does that count?
Yeah. That's amazing.
I actually thought one way around it is... I've got quite a bad lager habit at the moment.
Yeah.
And I'm just worried that it's going to result in a weight gain. So rather than wrestling with the concept of drinking or not drinking...
Right.
I'm going to try and very much roll back the calorific drinking.
Right.
Of course, I know from the past that...
Cheers.
...that if you don't also roll back the amounts, non-calorific drinking, the vodka martinis and gins and tonics... Can get very messy very quickly.
Yes, yeah. Well, my wife made possibly what's the ultimate sacrifice in buying alcohol-free... Well, it's not booze, is it? She bought the sort of alcohol-free versions of what booze is.
Yeah.
She had half a glass on Sunday, said it was really refreshing,
yeah.
And then launched into my wine.
Yeah.
Have you got any experience? It feels like you might have some experience in the world of the alcohol-free.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking wines, not beers, you see, because we don't drink beers, so...
Yeah, wine's terrible. I've never had a good alcohol-free wine.
Right, okay.
But I haven't tried that much.
Right.
But I think it is... It's part of the beauty of wine, is that the fermentation is part of the process.
Yes, yeah.
That's the same reason the difference between a good and a bad wine... It's so dramatic. Oh, gosh, I thought you hadn't seen that. I didn't have time to warn him. That was fantastic.
The good and the bad. Wow!
I didn't know. Had in the nanosecond, as Paul's head headed for this branch, going, let's stage it, I just looked up and I realised that he was like there. And I thought, I can't tell him, but if it happens, it is going to be a good story. Oh, but you just ducked and dived. I was ducked and dived.
Yeah, so alcohol-free wine is a bit of a...
Yeah, because alcohol-free beer goes from you know, not very nice, but all right, to really quite good.
Right, okay.
Although this trick, of course, of a really nice alcohol-free beer is that it's got alcohol in it.
Yes.
A bit like my Thursday with the wine.
Yes.
I do like a, as has doubtless come up before, Erdinger alcohol-free.
Right.
And actually, it's funny because it's like a wheat beer, and I don't really like wheat beer. It's one of those magical, quite heavy, thick beers.
Right.
Which is somehow managed to cut through and be really refreshing and light and good cold, you know?
Nice,
a bit like we used to try and convince ourselves Nuki Brown was back in the day. Oh, yeah, have a cold, it's lovely.
This is nice, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Today, the run, it's really nice.
Do you know, I was talking to the kids the other day
really
about them.
Temperature.
About beer.
Yeah.
Because, about my dad, you know, like, to my mind, he does not seem like a man from the past.
Yeah.
You know, he's very present, very relaxed, easygoing guy. And specifically, you know, when he was around, he was totally clued up, pop culture. You know what I mean? If he was here now, I'd be watching Better Call Saul and he'd listen to whatever new guitar album was coming out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yet more and more things about his life make you realise how times change. You start with the obvious ones, like the fact that he used to drink and smoke and then go out and be a top sportsman.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the era when famous people did that.
Yes.
You know, and carried, you know, kind of tubby.
Didn't Bjorn Borg used to smoke?
Yes.
Argentinian footballers by the side of the pitch having a fag watching the match.
Yeah. Definitely part of that culture. And the thing came up the other day. So just see, he was totally, no question for me, fizzy cold drinks.
Yeah.
Just meant nothing to him.
Yeah.
On a hot day, going to pub, his attitude to that was exactly the same as mine. And the drink he would have at that time would be bitter.
Right.
So that just made complete sense to me. I was talking to the kids about it, like, who does that?
Yeah.
To realise that in their ears, he sounds like he's from, like, Shakespearean times.
Yes, ye old taverns.
Oh, I'd like, give me a tepid drink.
Yeah.
Brown, with no bubbles at all. And this wasn't a, you know, a hipster craft ale.
Yeah.
This is first time round. We're talking brewery pubs. And his mum and dad, who I knew, in the 80s?
Yeah.
Their closest room to their room in the Museum of the Interior is the Victorian room.
Yeah.
Their house looked like people's houses looked like in the 1890s.
Yes. Yeah.
It's time travel. Peacock feathers.
Yeah.
Everything. What colour should we do it? We're doing a dark nicotine-stained brown.
Stone hot water bottles, like those stone. Do you know what I mean?
No fridge.
Slabs. Yeah. No fridge.
Jeez, my nan used to keep ice cream in the cupboard.
Yeah.
And the bath was in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And it was under a bit of board where she'd, you know, butter bread.
Yes. Yeah.
And then that would be there when you got around 4 hours later. That guy looked like Antonio Banderas. And, you know, and all of this stuff was great and normal, but my goodness.
Yeah, it's...
Times are changing, aren't they?
It's really changing, Rob. It's really changing.
Oh, Jay. So, from Queenswood into Highgate Wood.
I remember trying to write, you know, poems and short stories and stuff with a typewriter.
Yeah.
I mean, how laborious was all that?
Yeah.
All that palaver.
Yeah, it's funny you said it, because I remember being really sad a couple of years ago when... Tom Hanks put out his book of short stories.
Right.
And the linking theme is the typewriters.
Right.
It's a very American cultural trope, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Typewriter is expression of art. It's the Greg Kinnear character in You've Got Mail.
Yeah.
But like I say, that's the end of an era.
Yeah.
But I was sad because that would have made such a good Christmas present for my dad 5 years earlier, you know?
Yeah. But I write about it in my book.
Yeah.
Convinced that emails weren't going to catch on.
Yeah.
Absolutely convinced.
Politicians still say that, don't they? I never email.
Yeah.
I remember Tony Blair saying that in the 90s. Like, really?
Yeah. It's crazy.
What?
It's crazy. Either up north, I was in Thirsk. Just buying a cup of coffee or something.
Well, that's like when my dad was in Thirsk. He'd have a pint of bitter.
Yeah. But we'd ask for the... I asked for the Wi-Fi. She didn't know what I was on about. And I said, for the internet. She said, oh, I don't do that. People want to find me. They know where I am. What a classic Yorkshire response to the revolution of the 20th century.
Yeah. But also, it's just one step further. There's a bar we go to in the Lake District. It says, we don't have Wi-Fi here because we'd like to talk to each other.
Oh,
it's just good. Make sure your sign is nice and passag.
Yeah.
But you know, it's one step further to kind of go, yeah, denial. Yeah, don't do it. It doesn't exist.
I don't do the internet. And she wasn't old. She was like mid-50s.
Yeah. Oh, that is old.
Really old. As I approach my 51st on Saturday.
Oh, of course, it's your birthday time. Any plans?
Yeah, we're just having some mates round for a barbecue.
What time should we come?
Watch a bit of football.
Oh.
Well, the thing is, we are very restricted by numbers, aren't we?
Yeah.
We've got
a gig anyway. I'm doing a gig.
Of course.
I'm also a gig.
We're all gigs.
Somewhere.
We're all
gigs. Oh.
I am going to stop off at the...
He's going to use it. The toilets are open. He's going to go in. This is so beautiful. Should I film you going in?
We've got about 16. I mean, 16 feels like we're pushing it.
Yeah. It's lucky.
16,000.
It's difficult to be as popular as you are, isn't it?
Yeah. It'll be good fun.
Oh, here he goes. Look, this is it. Just as you get to this doorstep, give me this.
Waited for so many months.
Show me your happiness. He's so happy.
So many months we waited.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
It's going to rain. It's going to pour down, isn't it?
It's already started. Let's just stay under the trees.
Yeah.
I took some photos of these blackberries to illustrate what you were saying about autumn.
All right.
The incipience of autumnal.
Yes. It's starting to encroach, isn't it?
It is.
When
which
it feels
I love.
Like we've barely had a chance to enjoy summer. But we have in a way, haven't we?
This weekend in Alternative Universe 2020,
yeah,
I'd have gone up to Kendall Calling.
All right.
And done Beat This in Tim Burgess's cafe.
Nice, nice.
And then gone on to the Edinburgh Festival. None of that will happen. I don't really mind. Obviously, it's small beer in the great scheme of things. Plus, you know, that it's a distant dream now because that would have shaped the whole last 6 months.
Yes, yeah.
But... it is suddenly, like I was saying at the beginning, this weather, this basically August weather, just brings back very evocative memories of Edinburgh.
Yes.
So when I first went to Edinburgh as a, you know, would-be actor, director in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And saw you there doing comedy.
Yes.
Early mid, yes. You know, I just totally fell in love with the place and moved there.
Yeah.
Before I even thought of being a comedian. It's just so wonderful. Just that pure drama, you know, a city with real atmosphere and that weather that can change on a dime. A park with a mountain in it. It is such
it's
a fantastic
a real drama
place.
To it, isn't it?
And in a way, actually, not going to the festival enables me to remember and think of it in a much purer way. You know?
Yeah. You could almost say Edinburgh Festival's, for a lot of comics, is better when you don't go. Almost.
That's an argument that could be made.
Definitely in terms of your bank balance.
Well, it's kind of confusing for me because it's so tied up with it. And it's not just Edinburgh, it's such good gigs in Scotland. You know,
yeah.
Love gigging in Glasgow and I love Glasgow. And I love getting to know Glasgow, which is so much, obviously so much less touristy than Edinburgh, but so much more like, I don't know, Manchester or even London. It's a real city, you know. And I love all that, and it so ties in with being a comedian that to not be doing gigs enables you to see it all afresh.
Yeah.
And to not be going there enables you to miss it.
Yes.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah, we've really not been many places, have we, when we're just used to travelling so much.
Yeah, that's right. The reverse of that is that sometimes I get really sick of London.
Yeah.
And I have to tell myself, before someone gets in touch and says, oh yes, we hate London too. Well, you know, everybody does.
Yeah.
But it would only take me...
I don't.
No.
I'm going to say it.
I think it's blooming fantastic.
I really like it.
And I just had to tell myself, you don't need to spend half an hour in a town that doesn't work for you for that love of London to just blossom back up. And the fact that, you know, because it isn't, the irritants are there, you know, it's busy, noisy, expensive, polluted, but you take that rough with the smooth because it's such an exciting, beautiful place to be.
Yeah. Will it be again? Will it be busy?
Yeah.
We will find out.
It's interesting when you get right to the heart of talking of tourism.
To be revealed.
I was reading about Bath and Edinburgh in the paper the other day. Of course, these places, obviously financially, but also in terms of atmosphere, they absolutely rely on international tourism.
Yes.
So that's why when I went to Central London feels like the most still locked down place of all.
Have you been there recently?
Well, when we went to the soft opening of the National Gallery.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just less people around, obviously so. You know, exponentially so.
Yes.
Whereas for a long time, out in our suburbs, it's actually quite subtle because you see just as many people. You just, like we noted on this very spot, you just notice that their activities are a lot more directional.
Yes.
That's the only difference, really. Yeah. No, where once people would have been wandering, now they're either specifically partying or doing Tai Chi.
A bit more focused, yeah. I mean, London's a series of villages, isn't it? And they're getting on with each other's business. But there's still the idea of going into town. Feels like quite an expedition, doesn't it?
Because not so many people live there.
Yes.
And the people who live here don't so often go there. Again, something as a family that we've always done. Gone into town and enjoyed London's wonders.
The question...
But really, they don't, you know, it's not really what you do if you live in Zone 2. You don't go to Zone 1 for fun.
No. The question is, will London, the centre of London, become a place where people live? That's the big question this week's Running Commentary.
Oh, the answer is...
I don't know either. It's one possible scenario.
Good feature, though. Good feature.
Good, really good feature.
That. That was the big question.
That was the big question.
The big question.
So do you feel... Would you be up for a race, or does it feel slightly too early for you at the minute to enter such sort of races?
Well, you know, I think it probably is too early, but I wouldn't have thought that until you asked.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've watched the dialogue talking about online and stuff. I think it's one of those things. I just think, despite all the events I've done, I don't think that... I still feel quite external to that kind of thing. I don't feel like I need a race to feel like I'm getting my running.
Right.
I feel like I need an event to train for, to make sure I get my training.
That's
a different thing. That's back to selfishness, isn't it?
That's why I've done the old New Forest, really. To give it a bit of focus.
But I find the... you know, without... I understand all the different takes and I'm forming my relationship with it. But I don't know where we're at in terms of safety, social distancing, what it's like.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes, you know, it's all very mechanical. You try things on and it's fine. And then I have this thing at the moment where I'll go and do something.
Yeah.
And it seems fine, and everything's very sensible. I do all the right things. And then I just find myself in a bit...
Bit of a tizzy afterwards.
Feeling a bit anxious for 36 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
This happens with all kinds of things. I mean, I have that with... Yeah. I had that when I went on the... On public transport, but I also had it when I went out for a picnic.
Right.
And I had it when my daughter went on a bike ride.
Yeah.
Oh, good luck. Lovely bike. Off you go. Dreams of terrible accidents.
Yes, yeah.
Touches wood.
Yeah. It's, I think the main thing is...
We're just closer to stress.
It's just don't do anything that you don't want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like we've booked an ABBA weekend in Sweden. In Stockholm with Julie and Matt.
I knew you'd do that, knowing you.
In October.
Knowing me, knowing you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And Matt's a bit nervous about it. He's a little bit overweight.
Yep.
He feels a little bit at risk. He's unsure about it. And obviously...
He hasn't got any platform boots or flares.
No. The whole thing will probably be a nightmare anyway. Let's face it. He goes to Stockholm.
Yeah, I've been nervous
for the
about
ABBA
it.
Museum.
For
do you know
all...
What I mean? All different reasons. And the hotel was massively expensive because it's Stockholm anyway.
Yeah.
So, let's get a... Hey, good to see you. You all right? I'll give you a shout. Podcast.
Yes, we're working really hard.
Podding, run chat.
That's a USP, huh?
I'll give you a shout, love. Take care. Isn't it great taking the mickey out of your own thing?
Yeah, look at us wasting the time.
Podcast, idiots.
Yeah. I have to say, I think that the runners were good at that, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're runners and comedians. Look at me doing this. Well, I just saw this tree and wanted you under it, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, whatever you want. And there you go. Look at that. Look at the woods. He's so happy.
His natural environment. And I, so Matt's like, well, maybe we can go on holiday. If I lose a bit of weight, I don't want my holiday to be dependent on whether he can lose weight. Do you know? He never loses weight.
Right,
so
yeah.
So it's like,
yeah.
Let's put the... It's like $2,500 or something for the weekend.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
For birthdays, Julie's birthday. It's a huge thing. It's one of those, we have like 2 or 3 years of birthdays all in one. You know,
yeah,
we're always saying,
yeah.
Let's do something. And for various reasons, we never have. So yeah. We're throwing it all in. And I can't have that on whether Matt can walk past a burger.
Yeah, and so. That is also, that's the nature of things, isn't it? It's that, it's just you don't want anything compromised, but on the other hand, things are going to happen.
Yeah.
They're going to happen. It's like what we were saying the other week about, if you're desperate to go to the hairdressers, will you still love it? I mean, and I'm talking in terms of self-care and wellness and
right.
Having fun, not just getting a haircut. That 4 hours listening to twinkly, twinkly gong music and... smelling essential oils.
Yes, yeah.
If you're not allowed to talk and you have to wear a mask and the person doing it is wearing a face shield,
just weep.
Will that still give you joy?
Weeping with fear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just said to Matt, if you're not comfy with it, let's just, we can go again, you know.
Yeah. See, so, that's the other thing about events and stuff, I suppose. It would depend where things are, because travel is huge for us.
Right.
Because
you haven't got a car.
I haven't got
a motor.
And I don't know, I suppose... I would be happy, in principle, I'd really be happy to get on a train and do the things right and stuff.
Right.
But in practice, I wouldn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
We got booked in a moment of panic, actually. I booked the place we used to go on holiday.
Right.
Years ago when the kids were small.
Yeah.
We could never get it because it was expensive, and then by the time we could afford it, it'd all be booked up, you know.
Right.
So when the Edinburgh Festival was cancelled, I looked up and there was a week left in August. I was like, we're going.
Yeah.
And at that time, you literally didn't know if we were allowed into Wales, you know. It was
yes.
Stupid, really.
Yeah.
But anyway, it worked out well. But the reason I mention it is, that summer we can go without needing a car.
Yes.
That's right. One of the good things about it. But we're going to hire a car this time. And I'm much happier with that.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to.
No, that's fair enough.
I think culturally, I don't want us all to slide back into cars just in a kind of drift, you know, because it amazes me, all the new car ads on the radio, because I find it amazing that people would buy new cars, new petrol and diesel cars.
Yeah, diesel's getting phased out, isn't it? I mean, they are undeniably useful, though, aren't they?
Cars, yes, they are.
In terms of, like, family, let's go.
And also, you know, I know that's the trouble, is that it was always a new and subtle conversation anyway. This is a guy who's anti-cars and hasn't got one, just talked about hiring one.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like it's all, these are the kind of things it's hard to talk about these days anyway, because conversations are so binary. But equally, you know, that's why sometimes the car-y things, like the driving thing, you know, people saying, let's restart the car industry. You know what I mean? It's like, let's just take a moment.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
This thing needs a bit of balance.
It's that moment. This is Runcom Pod's second big point of the podcast.
The big question.
It's whether the economy's there for us or we're there for the economy.
Yeah, and
do we rebuild the car industry purely because it needs rebuilding, or do we say, is it useful for us, the planet, etc.?
Exactly. And I think that those questions, as you say, those questions are nuanced questions that are without easy answers.
Yeah.
But in terms of the way the Western world is run, the answer is serve the money and the people will look after themselves.
Yes, yeah.
Which has worked well in a lot of places for a long time.
Yeah.
So when people realise that that's happening, they're like, what? What? I read a very interesting article the other day which said that the modern world simultaneously encourages... I'm reading the map. I nearly went the wrong way there. It's following you down the wrong path. It simultaneously encourages, you know, small government and you know, not sort of non-socialist governmental
sort of localism.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Big society stuff. You know, that's the way the dialogue is going.
Yeah.
Not just because of dogma, but just because of where people are at.
Yeah.
But equally, at the same time, people feel very kind of confident in themselves and like they have agency. So it's kind of like you simultaneously expect to be looked after at exactly the same moment they're voting to not be nearly as well looked after as they once would have been.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And it's whatever your political take, that kind of shift, that kind of dichotomy is happening. People say, yeah, I don't want to pay for that. But ultimately, when the trouble does come, I do expect to be well looked after.
Isn't it more? Small state stuff means things can move quicker. Like things like the pandemic and stuff. It's like Germany had lots of localised health systems, localised care that's a bit less centrally. It's getting the balance right, isn't it?
Yeah.
But local,
and also,
can be
I think it's how political structures that look after communities are perceived.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, in America, people are just really uncomfortable with socialism because ideologically, you know, that they think, it's like a belief system.
Yes.
And if you said to them, we've got a brand new thing, that it's a new word, you know, Geschnurgelism.
Yes.
But it basically means you get looked after if you get run over by a car.
They'd go for it.
They go, I love it.
Yeah, of course. Who wouldn't want that? Which brings us back to cars. Stop the cars!
Stop the cars!
Stop them! So this week's...
My daughter, my youngest, will be 14 on Wednesday.
Oh, fantastic.
Which, you know, is probably about the age oldest were when we first started doing this running. It's
a big age, that one, mate.
It is big, but I think 14. That hopefully, I mean, obviously, apart from anything else, for all these kids one way or another, 2020's been a bit of a write-off.
Yes.
But also, I think that 13 was an absolute, was seismic for my daughter, and hopefully this is a bit more of a consolidator.
What, 13, so a lot of sort of changes?
Yeah, she was kind of, you know, from the beginning of last year to her birthday, it was like, you know, it's a butterfly out of the chrysalis situation.
Right, yeah.
Kind of a different person in that 6 months.
Wow.
And sort of, we were joking about her presenting as 13 from about 3 months before, you know.
Yes.
Identify, not present.
Yeah.
Identify as 13. But anyway, she's absolutely fabulous, so happy birthday.
That'll be great.
To the wonder that is.
It's amazing to see them get older. Mine are really growing up at the moment. You can just see it. Even Rudy, the 17-year-old, he's just really... Just during lockdown, actually, he's kind of... We come through, and there was moments where, from a distance, it might have looked like we're on the verge of some sort of grappling competition. But overall, he's really settled down. It's been good.
Yeah, it's just interesting you saying 17 and me thinking of him as being 15. You can just hear the difference there, can't you?
Yes, yeah.
And it's not just a number.
Yeah.
Well, bless them all. They're all just becoming the people they're going to be, aren't they?
All the children.
And already are.
All the kids. Look at those dogs there. Magnificent beasts.
Magnificent.
Yeah.
Which do you prefer, then, Queenswood or Highgatewood? It's the big question.
I probably like the sort of relatively less explored and mysterious Queenswood.
It just seems maybe a little bit more magic in here.
Yeah, it's just like the road less travelled, isn't it? Sort of, even though it's constantly full of people.
And that
massive,
has made
extremely safe.
The difference.
Yeah.
Well, that reminds me a bit of Robert Frost there. It was a... We slipped into a bit of Gerard Manley Hopkins on the Twitter feed
the
other day.
There was a bit of a Manley Hopkins going on, wasn't there?
I always, even at A-level time, I resented all his lyrical spiritualism and much preferred the "Look how clever I've been" of John Donne.
And then there was also a bit of French popped in. We got quite highbrow, didn't we?
Yeah.
A bit of French translation going on.
Well, I did some bad French.
Yeah.
And I was joking. And that wasn't clear, which is a bit of a shame for me.
Vis-à-vis the French fracas, social media, turns out Deering was in fact being ironic of it. Was it justified to call him up on the incorrect use of the French chapeau? What was it? Hats off or something? What was
it? Yeah, chapeau. It was hats off to Ellen in French. But see, that's where, that was their mistake, because she's not French, she's Irish.
I'd quite like to coach. Oh, that you've made me think about coaching now. I think she could be quite swift, couldn't she?
Yeah, and I also think that she'd be into it, because it's like she was saying, she is someone who, as a runner, absolutely seeks out advice and direction, whether it's from YouTube videos or... apps.
Yes.
She would have been in the hit badly by the Garmin drought of 2020 at the weekend.
Yes. Oh, wow. Of course people had that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Because as I said on Twitter, I just logged on Friday.
Yeah.
And I thought, what's all fuss about?
Yeah.
So I'm going on, is this it?
Yeah, it was running commentary. Yeah. Listeners were going, I think it was Tomkinson.
That tips it over.
His Ludditism is a virus.
But
it's like when Wreck-It Ralph broke the internet.
Yeah. But I was sharing my wisdom, I loosely use that term, wisdom, about running with Eleanor.
Yeah.
When I was saying, in order to run faster, you got to move your legs quicker.
Yeah.
And speeding up is the
route. Wait a minute, I didn't do the theme tune.
And
Tonks is wisdom.
Yeah. And so
standing that ankle deep in that Mediterranean sea.
Yeah.
You want to go faster?
Speeding up is the route to going faster.
Yeah.
But what I neglected to say, I said, you move your legs faster. Of course, you have to move your arms as well.
Yeah.
There's got to be a counter movement with your arms, because to move your legs faster without moving your arms, it looks ridiculous and it doesn't work.
Your feet will look after themselves.
Yeah, if you move your legs, your feet, that's
they
a
will
given.
Follow.
But you have to move your arms.
I wish you wouldn't get technical like this.
Because a lot of people weren't. They were just moving their legs and getting a lot of funny looks on a Saturday morning.
Well, I think we should definitely... let's tie together these thoughts, right? You've got an event coming up. Ellen needs to do a 10K just to, you know, sign it off. Should get her to put one in. Get her back on the podcast.
If you start your watch when you cross the line... No, start your watch when you cross the line to start, and then pop it again when you cross the line to finish, and then you look at that time on your watch, that's the time it took you to run the race.
Yeah, this next book isn't going to be as good, is it?
Tonks and Tonk, 100 tips! Maybe I could do it. £100 a pop for my wisdom on Twitter. This is it. Multi-millionaire. Wear shoes. Or don't. Depends what surface. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Brilliant.
Always appeared fairly wise. Series of tips. Seriously undermining the perspective.
Accused of deception on a mass scale. Over. Very disillusioned running commentary listenership.
Did you see my Tom Cruise video last week?
Yeah, that was great, mate.
Did you study my form?
Yeah, he was great. He was fantastic. Yeah. He's on form. He's away.
I thought that I looked like I got the brakes on a bit. I reckon I can get more pace out of that. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I can look any less ridiculous. Any more ridiculous. I could look less ridiculous just by staying home.
We should maybe mix up and go down the track again fairly shortly.
Well, I would like to, after mention the other podcast, after marathon talk.
Yeah.
I want to. I'd like to do a timed mile.
Yes.
Okay. I want to do four laps. I want you on the line telling me how many seconds I did.
Yeah.
And then add in the Tom Cruise finish.
Yeah.
I could get a good one there.
Yeah, I think you could. Yeah. I think you could, and I think it'd be nice to do a bit of training before we do it and really go for it.
Yeah. But 6 months training.
Quite intense. Is that the?
If you had 6 months
that's
training,
that's their item, isn't
just
it?
Just for a mile, what would you get exactly?
Yeah.
But that's a big if for me.
Yes, of course.
I mean,
yeah.
It's not gonna. I don't think that's on my list.
No.
But I'd like to get. But my I used time to and make it official.
Yeah, I used to live like that.
Yeah.
And when I lived like that, I did a mile in 4:50.
Wow.
When I was a kid.
Yeah. Well,
but now I'd be lucky to. If I, and this is flat out 6 months, I'd be lucky to do 5:20, 5:25.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's really.
But it's really interesting.
No two
is that thing?
This, like
that's why, in all seriousness, after all that talk about, well, you know, let me be completely serious here. You are an innately good runner, and a wise guru.
Yes.
And it's fun to skewer that.
I'll take that one.
But it's also good for the rest of us because of where you live in terms of running. Because what down the years has probably made you think, oh, I'm not quite Eliud Kipchoge.
Yeah,
makes the rest of us, thanks, see it from the opposite direction where, you know, I think I could get under 6. And you say, I once ran under 5. And then just beyond that on the horizon, I see, you know, Roger Bannister.
Yes.
I think, oh, I see.
3:59.
In the same way that you did
a
marathon time
track
with 2 hours in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Granted, it was at the other end of the hour, but it's the same conversation, isn't it? It's like, they're just doing the same thing as...
They're just doing the same thing as us. Oh, and faster.
It's all the faster.
I've got to check
the faster ones finish at the front. The slow ones finish near the back.
Yes. I tell you, don't pre-order
Fabulous facts. Book. Fabulous facts.
But when you were saying that you'd be lucky to beat 6 minutes, you could do that easily. The question is how close you could get to 5:45.
Yeah, it's really just
you did
that one little visit to the track already made me think that.
Yeah.
What was a mythical, accidental 6:10 5 years ago suddenly became 6:02 that I just did by accident.
Yeah, yeah, on your way to it on a Saturday morning, not really taking it seriously on the first mile of a 3-miler.
You pacing a park run a bit wrong, exactly. Yeah. So, and I also find it very interesting, talking of that, it's so lame, but if I'm honest, when we went around that track, we went around it 12 and a half times.
Yes.
Which was, you know, there's good and bad things about that.
Yeah.
But the idea of running around it 4 times,
so
that A, that's less times.
Yes.
And B, there's no half.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I find that very satisfying.
Yeah.
You know, I do spend a lot of time thinking about the maths and the maps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the gaps.
It is a little bit tedious, a 5K in the track.
So yeah, let's get back to the track.
Yeah, let's do it.
And I think, yeah, if I can get a just the psychological value of getting a mile time with a 5 minute in it would be incredible. I mean, that would change everything for me.
Yeah, well, that's very, very achievable. Yeah.
This is it, you see. Things like that. I want you to practice coaching me, and we'll either get towards this very exciting 2021 season, or we'll just fall out and we will never speak of it again.
The most irritating coach in history.
Don't tell me what to do.
I don't relate very well to time, Paul. You're going to have to rob the time in it.
No, I'd love to. That'd be right, lad.
Here's an interesting thing.
Go on, then.
I was thinking the other day, I, haven't got a... I find the... And this ties in with what you were saying about mantras and digging in and tear-ups, you know.
Right.
Is it possible to be really competitive and really give your best while still being positive about it? I find that then and now, in the old days, I was fast because I was naive.
Yes.
And these days, there's still that element of... I've got to kind of find the unknown.
Right.
I have to not be looking at it straight.
Right.
Specifically, whenever I run a fast 5K on a Saturday, I'm generally a bit tired.
Right.
And not completely into it.
Yeah.
And when I'm engaged and present, I'm simply not as good.
Right.
And that's true over longer distances too.
That's interesting.
I kind of need to be wrong-footed. I need to be a bit off.
You need to disassociate.
Yeah, exactly.
That's interesting. I'll have to have a little think about that.
And I don't, you know, I am competitive, but I don't like to be. I'd rather be zen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But you can be both, can't you? When you see those,
when you see
those really swift runners, they're sort of disassociating whilst giving it everything, aren't they? It's only when they start to physically register pain that they start to slow down.
Yeah. In fact,
it's not like they're not feeling pain before then, they're just not associating with it.
Yeah, and it feels like to me the specific there is you just take your head out of the game.
Yeah.
Just 100%.
I'm afraid, Rob, you're not allowed to chop your head off.
Feet?
Wait, no.
Feet were full of legs. Yeah. Legs fast. Arms same speed.
You can wear vapor flies, but you are not allowed, as such, under current law, to chop your head off at the rest.
You're the expert! He's the expert!
A new park run PB from the decapitated Rob Deering.
What happened was he ran. He ran under the blade, and his body just kept on running. Like one of them chickens.
No, with me, it's always been a sort of combination of disassociating for most of the race, but only really digging down when you really, really need to. Try to float and relax as much as possible whilst accepting at some point you will need a bit of ugly grit, you know?
Yeah.
And it's trying to fight. He's getting the balance.
He's watching it. Somehow just trying to kind of sit in the cockpit but take your hands off the controls.
Yeah. And sort of... I don't know, I talk about it a fair bit in the book, but I was helped by a sort of positive rage journey in my life that kind of appeared unplanned, really, but definitely helped. And I think a lot of runners tap into some aspect of that.
Mantras and models like that, the trouble is, it's not that they won't work if you plan them. It's just that it's a gamble.
Yeah.
Chances are you'll make a plan and it will go out the window.
Right.
And then something will happen in spite of you and it will work.
Yeah.
You've just got to be open to all those possibilities, haven't you?
Yeah.
I think that the other thing is that's, you know, for full detail, do read Paul's book on this. But I find it, what's beautiful about that is that that's a huge and specific and one-offy journey. But it still echoes her journey that any one of us who runs goes on any day of the week, which is where whatever emotional baggage you're carrying, you take it out for a run. You don't bring it back.
Yes.
It might come back with you in a different form.
But at the same time, there's something about the wall that brings stuff up. I don't know whether you find that.
Yeah.
When I experience the wall in various degrees of physical fitness, it tends to bring up all my stuff.
Yeah.
And that's part of the emotional journey of running through, of doing the marathon, is it? It's running through the wall, you know.
It's all, we're all looking for transcendence, aren't we, you know?
Yeah.
You saying that just made me think the wall, and it's not just the wall, but that just running to the point where there's nothing of you left.
Yeah.
You know? I just remember Vassos talking about running 100 miles, and he said for weeks he felt
really great.
Light and free and pure.
Yeah.
Like a kind of really religious thing, like a kind of pure white light.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, that's great. So he felt good. He's like, oh, no, I can walk.
Yeah. he was shipped off on a wheelchair, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He physically couldn't walk home.
But it's not about that at all,
is it?
No,
it's not, no.
Well, short term, I get back to the track, and I want you to time me for a mile.
Let's get back
and I'm going
to
try and
back to the track.
Knock off
get some
lager weight.
Yeah. get some speed. And well, psychologically, see if you can run a mile at the end of the summer.
Yeah.
And then just it'll give you a little new benchmark.
Yeah.
Because if you run a mile in like 5:50, then suddenly a 7:10 opening mile for a marathon feels psychologically really easy.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know
yeah.
what I mean? It just yep. changes the way the parameters that you're judging your performance. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. So here's a let's phrase this. Let's make this question as wide a question as possible. You were saying any events, half marathon in September. But really, let's rephrase that. Let's ask ourselves and all our listeners, what is it? What is the thing you're going to do, work towards in September
yes.
that's going to tell you where you're at?
Yeah.
For
yeah,
some people, right. it'll be finishing Catch the 5K.
Yes,
a lot
absolutely.
Of people are starting that up now.
Yeah, that's great.
I think it's absolutely fantastic. Although, I do think that, I think one of the ways that Catch the 5K works is it lets you not enjoy the running.
Right.
Which is important. But I think as you get to 5K, if you want to stay
what do you
with
mean,
it...
What do you mean by that?
Listen, I hated it, but I did it.
Right.
You know, which is totally valid. It's yeah. a really good way to get there. But remember, I think if you want to run further, to accept that, move on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's one thing that... When people start running... There's people who start running and immediately like it.
Yeah.
And they always like it, that's it.
Yeah.
And then there's people who start running... And really don't like it.
Yeah.
And I would always say to them, the fitter you get, the more likely you are to like it.
Yeah.
And if you get fit enough to run 35, 40 minutes,
yeah.
and you still don't like it, just don't bother.
The other day...
Do something
exactly.
else.
Exactly. The other day I was comparing it to comedy, though. And the thing is, you can only see it the way you see it, isn't it? Because I remember thinking, and I certainly wasn't the only one, slogging to horrible gigs with tiny, resentful audiences who wanted to see a comedian fail.
Right.
And doing 5-10 minutes and getting away with it.
Yeah.
And thinking, imagine how hard it would be to do half an hour
yeah.
to a room full of people.
Yes.
And the answer is,
much easier.
It would be much easier.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And that
the
is,
fitter you get, the easier it gets, more enjoyable.
Right. So for us to go and, yeah. You know, and just wander run 5 miles...
Yeah.
Is easier than doing Catch the 5K.
Yes, yeah.
So
yeah.
kudos, you know, that is
yeah.
that's
yeah,
the
totally.
Stage in the journey that you're on.
Yeah, totally.
So
I suppose all I'm saying is don't make yourself a long-term victim of something that you don't enjoy.
Yes.
We're all here to enjoy our lives.
And if you do enjoy
we love
it,
running.
It's okay for it to be hard, you know, just accept the balance and move on. I thought it was interesting, this was a... Jason Manford's video, which I thought was very empowering for the Chats to 5K, but I also wanted to kind of discuss the point rather than argue the point, because he was saying, no one likes running.
Yeah,
you go for a run
and, a bit bombastic
and then you feel it, smug. And you know, and I think if you're a new runner, I think that's really important to hear. But on the other hand, key thing is this. He said, do you think cavemen ever went for a jog? No, they ran away from things. And I'm like, yeah, but if you're a caveman and you had to make a 100-mile journey and you were lean and fit from your plant-based diet and the fact that you didn't overeat because that wasn't possible for you, then how do you think you'd make that 100-mile journey?
Yeah,
you'd set off at a nice light trot
also,
and you'd do it for several days and you'd be so free.
Also, we did evolve to run. We chase animals down. We're bipeds and we chase animals down. We've got more endurance capacity than a lot of other animals.
Exactly.
In terms of...
Exactly.
So that was, to me, that was an example of
it was
foolishness.
Well, it was
man them before.
But
there.
Equally, if he was here, you know, see, he's basically framing the facts to fit the argument, and the argument is a valid part of
hard,
a new runner's journey. What the hell are they?
Wow, it's hard when you just start running, isn't it?
It's really
and
hard.
You're not used to it.
So that's valid.
It's really hard,
remember
yeah.
that the cave.
And I know what he means about the feeling of smugness afterwards. It's not a smugness, is it? It's just a feeling of calmness, isn't it?
Well, that's the other thing. I think that modern society, again, Jason needs to say it that way because, and it's the same, I remember Chris Evans saying it on the radio, people generally, we're not very good at celebrating. So the word smug comes up a lot. But what I think he means is proud.
Yeah,
you should feel proud of yourself when you've done
it. Or just chill out, just mellow, or whatever
right.
it is, that feeling you get post-run.
Well, it's like that old thing, like the one, the coming back to a park run, you know, the one thing I never do on a Saturday when I run my 5K, I never get out of that door at 9 o'clock. And I have my reasons, you know, that's really difficult for me. And actually, in my journey, it's nice to realise that it isn't just comedy gigs that made that difficult, you know.
Yeah. You're lazy.
I'm lazy. I'm just bloody lazy. No, we're all biorhythmic, aren't we?
Saturday mornings.
There is a time in the day when you feel good to run, and it doesn't change. That's
it's weird, that one, is it? Because I often given the choice, I know it's unusual. It's most people running in the morning.
Yeah.
I'll run about midday, ideally.
Wow,
or even later, even three sometimes.
And instead of it being because we're comedians, maybe it's all part of the same deeper biorhythmical clock that is why we're into both things.
Yeah.
But equally, you've got to do the other ones. You know, we've run early in the morning, we've run late at night. You find out what suits you. But I think that the parkrun thing, if you do get a parkrun done, if you go out and run 5K, and if in some way that 5K is hard for you, whether it's getting all the way around a walk or running all the way or run walking or going as fast as you can, you know what I mean? What I'm saying is whether it's a 18-minute parkrun or a 45-minute parkrun, you do that at 9 o'clock, you say goodbye to your friends and you go home, and like you say, for the rest of the day, you're going to feel good about yourself.
You do feel good.
Because you've done something.
Yeah, yeah. And that's... that's nothing to be ashamed of.
No.
That's okay, isn't it? Isn't it? It doesn't mean you've got to run around telling everyone what you've just done that morning. It just means you know. It's a private knowledge, isn't it?
Yeah,
you carry it with you. That's a great thing. That's what I like about a daily run. You carry it with you in your mind and body for the rest of the day. You feel like a different animal relating to the universe. I love it.
No, I think you're pretty much the same animal.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
I spoiled that. Well, that was really nice.
Yeah, that was lovely.
We ran 5.4 miles through that, and it never quite rained, did it? When you went to the loo on Highgate Woods Fields, it was raining out by the playground. We could see it, but we're not wet.
We came up with some fabulous facts.
We want to hear what you're going to do in September and what it's going to mean, and with as wide a range of possible answers as possible.
Absolutely,
really.
Yeah. Autumn plans.
Here we are. See, look, we're all right. My hair looks weird. God, I look like my dad.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.